Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Alex Michel is passionate about equipping leaders and shepherding the body of Christ to experience holistic discipleship in both inner and outer growth in Christ's likeness. He loves the Lord. He loves people. You know, dear friend, God loves you. That's why we have the Good Life Radio Show, to bring you closer and closer to Jesus, for you to know the Savior, the one who has saved Pastor Alex, the one who has saved me and others that you might know of, for you to know his love, the love of Christ, that he loved you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, dear friend, the living Christ calls you to himself. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, today is that moment, we believe, for you to open your heart to him. And if you know the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, wherever you are in your journey, we're here to help build you up by the power of God, by the power of God's Spirit. Pastor Alex Michel is a senior pastor of New Hope Town. He's an ordained minister of the International Church of the Four Square Gospel. He was a member of the directional team, the dean of students, and director of student life at Pacific Rim Christian University. He continues as an adjunct professor for the college. He received his Master of Divinity degree from the King's University. He's on the Ethics Committee and Pastoral Licensing Team for the Hawaii District Office. He's married to his best friend and ministry partner, Jennifer, and they have 4 children, ranging from the ages of 20 and 8 years old. Pastor Alex, welcome to our show.
That's a blessing to be on the show, Danny. Thank you so much.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a part of Los Angeles called the San Fernando Valley. So some people don't know where that is, but if they've been to Universal Studios, then they've been to the San Fernando Valley because that's what it outlooks to. So I grew up in that part of Los Angeles.
What was it like growing up there?
Wow. Because I come from a biracial background, my dad is black Hispanic from the Dominican Republic, and my mom is white and Jewish, originally born in Louisiana, but raised mostly in Jacksonville, Florida, and then in New York. So being what we call a mixed kid growing up in the San Fernando Valley was interesting. You know, there was a lot of white middle-class kids, and then there was a lot of Hispanic kids, like, growing up in that, like, area. And there was a lot of kids like myself who were growing up with single-parent moms. And so It was the 70s, so I see movies and TV shows are coming back about the 70s, and it reminds me of sweet times, bell bottoms and afros and all that other fun stuff. But it also was just, when I think about growing up there, you know, it was a time of just a lot of kids raising themselves. That was a big sisters doing it for themselves time, and not too many people use the term latchkey kids anymore, but those were a definition of kids who largely, you know, parents were single parent mom would be working till the evening, so they'd get home by themselves, and we lived in apartment buildings, and kids were just growing up with kids without a lot of parental supervision a lot of the time. And so you can imagine as kids get into what they, you know, get into. But you know, there was good things. My mom was a great mom who was there doing all that she could. She was a teenage mom, so she was young, but she did all that she could to raise me without my dad. And you know, there's those difficulties without having a dad in your life, but you know, you work it through, and so did a lot of those other kids. So it was the 70s, to say the least.
You mentioned your mom,
yeah,
Alex. Who would you say, it might be her, but who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Yeah, I would definitely say, you know, it was my mom. She worked really, really hard, you know, as a single mom, and then she was young, you know. Yes. So, you know, we literally grew up together, and my mom had to work almost 7 days a week in order to make ends meet. You know, I remember living in the one-bedroom apartments where, you know, I got the bedroom and she was on the fold-out couch. And I saw, you know, she would work Monday through Friday at her job, and then she'd work Saturday and Sunday at the swap meets. And and yet in all that time and working hard, she really worked hard to make sure that I wouldn't lack anything. And so when I think about, like, my kind of first, you know, person that I really looked up to that influenced me so strongly, I'd have to say it's my mom. Both, not just in the work ethic, because she worked hard, but, you know, she loved me with all that she had. You know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home at all, you know, but she certainly showed me love, that type of sacrificial love. She always encouraged me and supported me. You know, she walked through different things because she was young, and so, you know, it wasn't a perfect space, but it was definitely one where I can look back on my childhood and be very grateful for the mom that I had.
So it sounds like you were the only child.
Yes.
You were.
I was the only child. Never had to fight anybody for the Captain Crunch.
Brother, you're talking about the 70s.
Yeah.
You're bringing back memories. Captain Crunch, that was... I wanted the original. No, I didn't need peanut butter.
That's right.
Just
right.
The original Captain
yeah,
Crunch.
There was no such thing as Crunch Berries back then.
No,
that was like an 80s
no
thing.
No Crunch Berries. How did you become a Christian?
Wow, what a journey. So as I made mention of, I was raised in a Jewish home. My mom is white and Jewish, and my I'm what's called an Ashkenazi Jew, which is a Jew from European descent. So my great-grandparents were from Russia, and my grandmother was born in New York. Her name was Estelle Rosengarten, so that's probably about as Jewish as you can get. And so... yeah, I was bar mitzvahed in everything, you know, so I wasn't necessarily like Orthodox or religiously Jewish, but I was strongly culturally Jewish. My best friends in high school were Israeli. That was really a huge part of my identity and a lot of what shaped my friends. And so when I went off to college, I went to a college called the University of California at Santa Barbara. And so I went on quite a journey then, because I know our radio listeners can't see me. But I, like growing up, I was white and Jewish on the inside and milk chocolatey on the outside. So it threw a lot of people off to know that that was my background. But as I'd also said, I wasn't raised with my father. So when I got to college, I really had somewhat of an identity like crisis, a real man in the mirror moment when I was looking in the mirror and basically looking at, you know, my skin being darker and, you know, I don't have any connection to anybody on any side of my father's side. And so it started me on a journey of like, man, I want to discover this part of me too. So I thought the best thing that I could do if I wanted to learn about me, since I didn't have family, was to sign up for a Black Studies class so I could learn about me. And so, and it did, it started a journey, man. I just literally went from one side of the pendulum after that class to another. I started getting, you know, next thing I know, like all my Duran Duran and Depeche Mode and other different types of music was getting thrown out. And the next thing it's Public Enemy and Fight the Power t-shirts and, you know, just this whole pendulum like switch. And so in that space, as I was beginning to get more and more immersed in the Black community in Santa Barbara, I ultimately joined what's called a fraternity, a predominantly Black fraternity. It was called Sigma Phi Rho. And in that space, that's where I met some men for the first time who were believers in Jesus. And so in that space, it was interesting. I remember, I could literally, Danny, remember these things from the first time that when they came up to me one time and we were getting ready to pledge and they said, hey, Alex, we're about to pray. Do you want to pray with us? And my thought was like, well, I'll hold your hand. You know, like praying is what the rabbi did in Hebrew, and I didn't know what he was saying until like the prayer ended with amen, and then you knew it was like over. But what was said in between, I had no idea. And so it was very powerful though, Danny, because what I recognized is right away, everything that they prayed for happened. To such an extent that when it came down to the end of the pledging process, which they make really intense, like a hell week in football, I told some of those Christian guys, you need to pray that this ends tonight. And literally it did. And so in that, it was like that was my kind of first touch point with getting closer to God. And then I became a Black Studies major, and we were doing a celebration of Black pastors in the Santa Barbara community because there just wasn't a lot of them. And I was invited as a regional scholar. And
I certainly marvel at the times when the Lord has related with people at different times. You know, Pastor Alex Michelle, he was a person of his time, grew up there in the 70s and 80s. And that's just the thing, you know, the culture, the language, the way society operates. God has a transcendent way of relating with people in different times spanning throughout history, as well as we could say, yes, moving into the future. Where you are at that time and where you are in your life, God, in a way that only He can, relates with you in a very personal way. Suzanne, does that not cause you to marvel at the way the Lord has related to people?
Absolutely, Danny. And it takes me back to Psalm 139, the sovereignty of God. He is at work every second of our lives, and even for those that try and run from Him or hide from Him, He is at work. And so now here Pastor Alex goes off to college, which in and of itself I think is remarkable, and then is pursued, I believe, by God in such a way that he starts looking at a half of him that he really hasn't, sound like, paid much attention to. And so here's God at work and going to open up a whole new aspect of his life for him. I'm looking forward to hearing how this unfolds.
Well, and he will share more with us, the unfolding of his story, in this pre-recorded interview with Pastor Alex Michelle of New Hope Town. In fact, you can find out more about him at newhopetown.org. Well, that's just the thing. God reaching us. We always think about, hey, seek God, reach after God. Well, in the same way and at the same time, God is reaching out to you. And dear friend, today, as we go into our break, do you know that the Lord is pursuing you? He's pursuing you. You might be in college like Pastor Alex was, but you're at a university today. You might be at your job listening to this program, quietly playing it on the side. You may be at home. You may be working out. You may be driving in your car. You may be in a hospital today. It may be a time when you're seeking and saying, God, do you hear me? Do you know me? And the Lord says, yes. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
I marvel at it each time I have the privilege of hearing it. And what I'm talking about is each time I have the privilege of hearing someone tell their story of faith, how they, on their faith journey, how they entered into or experienced what it's like to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And Pastor Alex Michelle, our guest today, is sharing that very story. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Suzanne Maurer, and together we are grateful that you're with us today, and we believe the Lord, through Pastor Alex and his testimony, will touch you in ways that, well, in ways that only God can. Now, please join us as we listen in to Pastor Alex as he shares in this pre-recorded interview his story, his transition to a life of faith in Christ.
I was invited to speak, and when I finished speaking, the pastors were coming up, and there was one last pastor. His name was Pastor Ron Wright, and when he stood up, he said, you know, hey, I want to thank you for this award, everybody, but I want to talk to you about Jesus. And I can tell you, Danny, honestly, I was half listening. I can still remember that day. I remember looking out. It was probably about 4:30 in the afternoon. I could just see the kind of that sunsetting feeling, and I was kind of half paying attention. But then Pastor Wright said, you know, Jesus was a meek and humble man, but Jesus wasn't no punk either. And I literally remember looking straight at him. I mean, there was probably 40 people in the room. And the very first thought that quick, Danny, was that's the first time anybody brought God down to my level, because I knew what that meant. And I was like, wow, okay. And so the next year kind of rolled around, and some of those guys started going to his church, and I got invited to go to that church. And I went for the first time, because in the invitation, they were like, oh, do you want to come check out the church? I'm like, sure. And I just thought, like, it was a little black church in Santa Barbara, and I remember hearing about Sister Act, and I was figuring, like, man, maybe I'll get to see, like, Sister Act live, you know? And so I came in there, and it was like a Tyler Perry movie, little choir, and, you know, the pastor was pounding the pulpit and going for it. And in the end, he gave an invitation for people to receive Jesus after everybody bowed their head and closed their eyes. And, you know, as soon as he did that, I was like, nope, I'm Jewish, you know. And then he did something I've never heard another pastor do before, Danny. He said, you know, if you don't belong to a local church in this area, raise your hand. And so I raised my hand, and he said, well, if you raised your hand or should have raised your hand, we'd love to have you come join this church. And man, my hand went down. This wasn't like being at, like, say, New Hope Oahu, where there's, you know, 1,000 people, and if you made a mistake raising your hand, you just drop it back down into the sea of people. Oh, man, it's this little tiny church. And man, my heart starts pounding and pounding. Man, he's like, I'll give you 10 seconds. I'll give you 5 seconds. The next thing I know, Danny, I'm walking down the pew, and I walk down the front. And then Pastor Wright did something I've never seen anybody do since. And I don't know how he got away with it and still held a church together, but he would do Johnny on the spot interviews, literally walk down and he put a mic in your face. So where are you from? What's your name? And I said, my name is Alex, and I'm not of this faith, but I like what I'm hearing, and I'm going to keep coming back. And Danny, I went back almost every Sunday for 14 months without receiving Jesus. And the reason behind that, man, was just, you know, I didn't want to just make a decision that I didn't have any type of, like, real knowledge about. I was not like some, and not that this is a, you know, like a judgment type thing, but my life wasn't that bad. I wasn't like in the gutter, like my life falling apart. I was Mr. Politically Positive. I was a double major in economics and black studies, you know, and not that it means anything in this type of space of understanding the kingdom of that day. Like, I got together with a lot of girls, had girlfriends. I mean, like, everything was, like, according to the world, was, like, on point, you know. And so, you know, to be in this space, I just, I needed to learn about God, even though I was a chosen person. And I remember saying I was a chosen person. If you would have asked me what I was chosen for, I'd say I wouldn't have had any clue, you know. And so I just needed to get to understand God, because I was recognizing that these friends of mine and people I was meeting in the church, everything they did, they thought through what God would think. And all I ever thought about is what I thought, or whether I'd get grounded or not from my mother or something like that. So after 14 months of going, everybody thinks that I'm a Christian. I mean, nobody ever asked me, and I'm there. And, you know, it's a black church in many ways, so they do a lot of social issues. So a couple times I'd spoken, not given a message, but just giving update from the community. And everybody thought I was already on the team. And so I had a friend who knew that I hadn't. He knew that a part of me was like, oh, you know, I'm a Jew. You know what I mean? I got a direct line to God. You guys need Jesus. You know what I mean? And he finally challenged me. And he said, you know, Alex, I know you pray and I know you believe in God. Why don't you ask God if you're supposed to see him and Jesus as the same? And I said, you know what? That's fair. And so on December 2nd, 1992, I prayed to God and said, God, if I'm supposed to see you and Jesus as the same, show me. And 2 days later, I was talking to my then friend, now wife, Jennifer, and I was talking about an incredibly painful relationship that had happened in my life, that I just, the girl had dumped me and my heart was just destroyed. And for a year and a half, I could not shake the pain. In fact, merely talking about the relationship vexed me, as if somebody had gone through abuse, you know, and they don't want to talk about the abuse because they start living it again. Mm-hmm. And so I knew to tell Jennifer about this because we were becoming better friends. I said, man, it's a choice, but I guess I'll tell her about this part of my story. And sure enough, Danny, after about 40 minutes of spewing, I'm literally balled up in the couch, just like rocking back and forth like somebody who's going through trauma. Wow. And she says, Alex. And as soon as she did, my heart froze, because in that journey, Danny, of those 14 months, there were times where God, I felt like, just moved my heart to say something. Maybe it was to a fraternity, but they're like, hey, man, I just think that God wants me to tell you this or that. And I just would have this sense in my heart. And when she said, Alex, my heart froze, because that same feeling I got when I felt like God wanted me to say something, I got when she called my name. And this is all she said, Danny. She said, you know, Alex, one day that girl's going to realize what she did to you and what she lost. And Danny, I mean it with all my, it wasn't like, whoa, what's going on? Or over a couple of days, I mean it, brother, like with like a flash of lightning, all the rage, all the pain, all the anger, boom, I feel something fly out of my chest. I go back into my chair. I'm like I like gasped. And Jennifer freaked out, as you can imagine. She's like, what in the world just happened? And she goes, what's wrong? And I said, I have to go receive Jesus. It literally came out of my mouth like that, Danny, because I knew in a moment all the pain I had tried to drink away. I tried to sex it away, relationships away. I tried everything to get this pain out of my heart. 2 days before that, I had prayed, God, if I'm supposed to see you and Jesus is the same, show me. He took away that pain in less than a second, and I knew immediately why it had happened. And I knew the next day, I knew right there I needed to receive the Lord. So December 6, 1992 comes along, and that's 2 days later. And I mean, I can't even wait for him to ask the question, like, you know, if anybody would like to receive Jesus. What was so funny, Danny, was when he gave the invitation and he said, you know, if you want to receive Jesus, raise your hand. I raised my hand and he looked at me like I was crazy. He looked at me like, I'm not asking for volunteers, Alex. I'm asking for people who don't know Jesus, because I've been there for 14 months, right?
Even he thought you were.
Yeah, totally. On the team, right? He completely did. And so I like waved him off. I'm like, no, I'm putting my hand up on purpose. So sure enough, it was great, because
interview me again.
I know. And that's exactly what happened, because Jennifer had come to support me as a friend, and she was coming from a Catholic background, and she was so impacted that when the invitation came, we actually both went forward, and Pastor Wright was like, Alex, what's going on? I said, Pastor Wright, I'll just tell you the truth. I wasn't hiding anything, but you know, I believed in God, but I'd never committed my life to Jesus. But Jesus has just done something dynamic in my life, you know, and I don't know all the answers, but I know who's the answer.
Well, he doesn't know all the answers, but he knows who the answer is. He makes a decision. Pastor Alex Michelle makes a decision to receive Christ. Well, what a powerful and dramatic process. Through a period where he's opening up to to the woman that would eventually become his wife, Jennifer, sharing with her his deepest pain, the pain from a broken relationship. And God uses that as a catalytic moment, a turning point. Suzanne, broken relationships seem to have its way in our lives, where it tenderizes our hearts because we're hurting. Why do you feel God does that or allows that to happen to us?
Well, in his sovereignty, it took 14 months, but still he had a purpose and a plan in that brokenness. And then through the prayer of Pastor Alex, reveal yourself to me. And interesting to me that it took 14 months for him to do that. But God's timing is perfect, and he has a plan, and we can trust him. And interesting to me how it was instantaneous then. It was just like a snap of a finger, and Jesus became real to him as God the Father, and it was through brokenness. I wish sometimes, Danny, it didn't take brokenness, but oftentimes it does. But then our Heavenly Father is there to hold us tightly and walk us through it with the wonderful plans that he has for us, even through brokenness.
I often wonder about the practice of the shepherd. When the shepherd would go and find a sheep that is lost, I've heard that when the shepherd finds a sheep which is lost, that the shepherd breaks the legs of the sheep. I don't know if it's one leg or more than one leg, but to teach the sheep a lesson not to stray. I always found that as quite striking. But there's something built in the process of breaking, in the breaking of our hearts through a broken relationship, that vulnerability, that, you know, when Pastor Alex talks about rocking, you know, sort of coiled up in an almost like a fetal position. Well, feeling that vulnerable and alone, and the cathartic moment of deep, deep sobs and weeping. Well, God reveals himself at a moment like that. Not, he doesn't have to always reveal himself that way. He doesn't always reveal himself that way, but many times he does. And my friend, today, as you're listening to Pastor Alex Michelle in this, his sharing, and as Suzanne and I, you know, share back and forth and engage in our time together with you, where are you on the spectrum of life? Are you facing a crisis moment? Are you in that place where you're questioning certain things, that are shocked by certain things that you never expected would happen? Well, maybe the Lord is using this moment to reveal himself to you. And that is where, as Pastor Alex will share when we come back, your life can change. Things around you may change, but you know what really makes the difference? Is that things inside you change. You change. God does a work inside. And when we come to Christ, if any man is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Pastor Alex will share his story about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kari Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kari Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, it's not the end. It's not the end when we're broken in Christ. It's just part of the beginning. The end. Well, we could say it like this, not the end, but the end of the beginning. And the beginning is a new beginning in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Alex Michelle is sharing with us in this pre-recorded interview about his journey to faith. And oh, what God was going to do in his life and what God has done in his life, the people that he's reached. Well, let's go back to our time with him. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, Pastor Alex Michelle. Find out more about this program. You can get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com to find out more about Pastor Michelle, Alex Michelle, newhopetown.org. Let's listen in on Pastor Alex as he shares his story. Brother, what? Wow. Man. What difference? What difference has Christ made in your life, in Jennifer's life, since then?
Man, you said we had an hour-long radio show. If you want a couple of... What difference has Jesus made? Danny, I don't even know where to begin. You know, like, seriously, to know what it means to be truly born again, to be given a completely new life in Christ. The more that I... Because I had weighed it for 14 months, when I made the decision, I was all in. And so I just realized, man, I need to start reading the Bible. I'm going to be going to church and be praying. And I find that, you know, when you give God anything, you know, that you say, even if it's the smallest things, I made a commitment to three things, Danny, when I received the Lord. I said, I'm going to go to church. I'll pray to start and end my day. And then I had heard somewhere in my journey that whole story of Peter denying Jesus. And I said, listen, I don't know if I'm going to be up in the mountaintops telling everybody I believe in Jesus, but if anybody asks me, I won't deny him. You know, and I find that if you give God even the smallest thing, but you definitively give it to him, he will multiply it more than you can believe. Mm-hmm. And so my life just started transforming because every little thing that I gave to God, he began to turn into a life transformation in my life. And so, man, when it comes down to like how it changed my life, I mean, I went from being completely me focused and how I can promote me and be good for me to thinking of how can I live for the one who laid his life down for me. You know, I began to see, people recognize a teaching gift that was growing in me, you know, in that season of college. And so I just began to, you know, think of, man, how can I communicate to so many of my friends, you know, about Jesus, you know? And so this life transformation began to happen because, man, my life began to be about others. I began to just be passionate about helping other people know that what Jesus did in my life, he could do in their lives. You know, what he could do in, you know, my family, he could do in their family. the hurts and the transformations. So many of my friends had grown up, you know, without fathers as well, and God had begun to work on that father wound. So I wasn't defined by the anger of my loss, but I was beginning to be defined by the love that had found me in, like, Christ and receiving God as my father. You know, that was December 6, 1992, that we got saved. Myself and Jennifer got married August 6, 1994. And so, you know, even in that space, that God gave me a marriage when my wife was 23 and I was 24. And so even in that space, he began to redefine my life, because I did not behold a father and a mother together partnering. And so many people say, Danny, you know, you can't give what you haven't received. And if you really think about that, that's the kiss of death. If that's true, we're all, like, done. Because how many of us have not received the very things that we need to give? But you can give them if you receive them from Jesus. And so here my wife and I began to build this life that was not one I'd been raised in, but one that God was beginning to teach me and show me. And so, you know, contrary to my being coming from a teenage mom, you know, not having a dad in my life, you know, in that space, here my wife and I are growing, we're learning, you know, how to work and do life together as we're also serving Jesus together. We're creating a Christ-centered marriage, you know. Her parents have been together and are still together. They've been together for a number of years, but even then it was a little bit different because we were coming from, you know, from a Protestant Christian background, where she was coming from a Catholic background, as was the family. And so it just, everything changed. And then, you know, 8 months into being married, Jennifer became pregnant. So, you know, that wasn't our plan. It's like, well, what did you think was going to happen when, you know, married people do what they do? But it wasn't planned that early, but that's how it happened. And we had our first daughter, Serena. And now I was a father and I was able to give. How does Jesus change your life? He helps you to begin to give to your children now what you hadn't received. And then in that space of time, I had become a public school teacher. And I really did that not because I was looking for a job, because God literally called me out of the business world and brought me. And he said, I want you to give your life as a missionary to the children of Los Angeles by becoming a public school teacher. And that's what I did. And so now my career, so it's not only touching my marriage, Jesus is touching my family. And now he's touching my career and what I'm doing for God in that space. And in that space of being a public school teacher for 8 years, I got to play a part indirectly or directly leading over 150 kids to Christ, you know, some of whom today have gone to Bible college and are walking with Jesus. And so the transformation is, before I came to Christ, everybody knew about Alex Michelle. And having come to Christ, I'm grateful that when people think about me, they can't help but think about the Savior who saved me. And I love that. I love my life isn't defined by my name, but by his. And it's our family name too. Like, being a Michelle growing up meant being teased because I had a girl's name. Being a Michelle meant, oh, that's not having a father in your life. And Danny, I can't tell you what it means to me that for my children, my four children, when they say that they're a Michelle, people say, Alex, like Alex and Jennifer Michelle, or, you know, and what it is now God has redeemed our name and made it a name that is honored, but it's honored because of the Lord who redeemed the name and the family. And now the heritage that my children will have to pass on to their children is one that is redefined by Jesus. Everything he has touched has just turned to absolute kingdom gold, and I couldn't be more grateful.
Alex, how is your relationship with your mom?
My relationship with my mom is wonderful. As you can imagine, though, when I came home from college and told my mom I was a believer in Jesus now, I think at first she was like, oh, honey, whatever makes you happy. You know what I mean? As long as it didn't kind of, she just didn't know it. It happened up at college. And when I graduated, I came back, you know, back to LA and began to just kind of build my life there. Jennifer and I were dating and then moved into engagement. But we did. We, you know, probably about 6 months into me being home and her seeing it up front, we had a pretty big blowout about me becoming a believer in Jesus, you know. And so it was rough beginnings. I just think that, you know, it was her having not only an adult coming back home, but an adult who had begun to embrace something that she just never understood. But after that time, after we had that blowout, you know, I learned that you don't bring people to Jesus through fear. I mean, a lot of my story then was, you don't want to burn in hell, please receive Jesus. You know, and I was sincere because, you know, I got that. And it was, you know, in the space of being true that there is an eternal consequence for not receiving Christ, but you just never win people to anything through anger, you know, or through fear. And so out of that, I learned powerfully out of that explosion with my mom that you lead people to something through love. And so in that space, my mom and I continued to grow in our relationship. My mom had met my stepdad when I was 15, and they got married when I was 18, right when I was starting college, and they're still married to this day. My mom had, you know, I think what it was is just the more and more they saw myself and Jennifer and our family living out this Christian life, living out a Jesus-centered life. Even though it was confusing, it caused me to leave the business world, which was their company I was working for, which was like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? How could you leave the business world? You know, you could have this business, it's going to be yours. And what do you mean Jesus is calling you away from it? But every of these decisions that I would make for Jesus, or Jennifer and I would make for Jesus, even though my mom, my stepdad would be like, are you crazy? Are you nuts? Are you stupid? I didn't raise you this way. You know, God would constantly turn it around incredibly. You know, and so my relationship with my mom, you know, was just this beautiful thing. In 2004, you know, at Easter time, my mom committed her life to Jesus. And it was a beautiful thing to see my mom come into that space. And we continued to pray for my stepdad. And then
Pastor Alex talks about a life that is changing. Well, of course, a life that is changing, it's going to impact family. It's going to impact friends, friendships. You are a changed person when you come to Christ, and your transformation affects society. It affects the way you interact with others. Your values change, perspectives change, priorities change. And therefore, as priorities change, your decisions change. And once those decisions are made, things begin to see, that begins to set in motion other parts of life that begin to transpire. Suzanne, you've seen that in your life. I've seen that in my life. Why do you think it becomes so difficult for others around us when we begin to change, when someone begins to change, to accept that this is really happening in our lives?
I personally think it's a threatening thing to them, Danny. And I also think it's God, the Hound of Heaven, just tapping on their heart. I experienced it with my own sister. And here we were raised in the same family, but we went to church. We didn't know Christ personally. And then when I understood and accepted and started living out a personal relationship with Christ, this was a very difficult thing for her. She just, she was threatened by it, but she saw a peace in me that she didn't have. And I kind of think the Hound of Heaven just started working on her, and ultimately, unfortunately, very near her death, she did come to know Christ. But I'm listening to Pastor Alex and thinking it is so beautifully being lived out, Galatians 2:20, and if I may, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in a God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that is what I'm hearing with Pastor Alex. And it's just, it's so powerful. And praise God, his mother, and then his stepfather. But it's that Galatians 2:20 that he experienced that he's living out, in my opinion.
Someone like Pastor Alex is surrendering his life to God, so therefore God's values, priorities become his. He begins to, well, not only is he saying, I'm going to live my life for God, really, according to the passage that you just read, Suzanne, he's saying, I'm surrendering my life, really, I'm dying to myself so that the life of Christ will be lived through me.
Absolutely.
Well, no wonder I would feel threatened too, because there's a sense of losing control. You're actually watching someone that's giving up themselves.
Yes.
But they're being animated by one so different, with values that are so adverse to what is the norm. And that becomes a challenge. Well, when we come back in our final segment in this pre-recorded interview with Pastor Alex, he'll share what took place next, how God led him from teaching to ministry, and how, beneath it all, when we're faithful to God, God prepares us for the next steps of life. More from Pastor Alex Michelle. By the way, you can find out more about him and his ministry, he and Jennifer, at newhopetown.org. Again, newhopetown.org. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Waihewa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It's all a part of the journey. It's all a part of the journey. So what happens next? You say, Danny, what do you mean what happens next? Well, what happens after someone, through a process, opens their heart to Christ, and as they do, their life begins to change. They become socialized as believers in a new environment. Well, not necessarily a new environment. It's the same environment, but they get socialized as believers in that same environment. And, well, people get socialized or accustomed to them in their new way, as a new person. New values, new levels of consistency, different priorities. And then over time, it becomes more normal. So it becomes normalized where people begin to see you as the new person, the new Christ follower. And as you do, there's a power that grows in the consistency because people begin to watch, indeed, he or she really has changed. There's an authenticity to it, and that's powerful because they begin to see that Christ really is alive in your life. Oh, Pastor Alex is going to make a transition now in life that will even impact his career, not only from business to teaching. So let's go back and hear more in this final segment of our pre-recorded interview with Pastor Alex Michel.
It's gone far. And so, of course, that was a whirlwind in that space. But it's incredible how even in that type of, like, terrible news, what it did is after over 20 years of witnessing to my dad and us walking in the way of the Lord, my dad called me after this kind of prognosis time. And, you know, he said to me, son, you know, I need to stop looking on the outside of the fence in, looking at yourself and your mom and God and things like that. And I need to turn my life around and I need to give myself to God. I need to give my life to Jesus. And I mean, Danny, I don't know if you've experienced when you've prayed for something for over two decades, every week, praying that God, would this be, would you save my dad every new year? Lord, may this be the year that you save my stepdad. And so, and it wasn't like I'll come to God if you'll heal your mom. He had been watching for years. He had been warming up. He, in fact, through a lot of my early years, was like a mocker, you know, of God, because he was a very self-made man. But, you know, it just, in this space now, even though we're walking through the battle of cancer and my mom's fighting strong, it's hard, but she's fighting strong and she's doing relatively well. It's incredible to be fighting that battle with my dad on the side of Jesus alongside her. And so it's just another beautiful thing that God does when you give your life to him. You know, he really does hear your prayers, even if they've been praying for years. So my mom and I are well, you know, as well as my stepdad. And it's just a beautiful redemptive story of God's hand on our life.
How did you connect with the Foursquare Church or Church on the Way?
Well, when I moved back down to L.A., you know, the only thing I knew was the AME Church, the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And so that's it's funny. I guess I would have thought that all heaven was going to be was black people singing gospel music and having barbecue. And God sounded like he would always talk like this because that's how my pastor talked. And so I looked for a church like that. And so at that time, I had found an AME church, but I had also, Danny, while I was going to that AME church, a guy had said to me, you know, hey, you know, do you ever listen to Christian radio? And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know there was Christian radio. And he's like, yeah, man. And my favorite, like, guy and is this guy, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, you know, and, you know, I was like, oh, okay. And he told me when Dr. J. Vernon McGee was on. And, you know, and like I said, my whole experience, Danny, at that time was honestly like black church. So I turn on the radio at the time that the guy tells me to, and I hear this old Southern pastor, a preacher, teaching about the Bible. But I'm like, I must have got the wrong station, and I hit it off. And the next Sunday, I said to the guy, I said, hey, he's like, oh, hey, did you listen to that radio? I said, well, I heard some old Southern guy. He's like, that's him. That's Dr. McGee. And I was like, you sure, man? He doesn't sound black, you know?
And until next time.
Yeah, God, exactly. Exactly, you know? And so I went and I went and listened to it again, and I was just blown away. And I started listening to a Christian radio ministry, which began to draw me to a world outside of the kind of nebulous bubble that I was in, you know, in the AME church. And so that same guy had actually had said he was going to go check out a church called the Church on the Way. And so so at that time, the longer that Jennifer and I were at this church, we were now married. We just felt like there was something more God was wanting to do to grow us. And so we began to look. And so the Church on the Way was one of three churches that we looked at. And we went the first time. And man, honestly, I came from such a small church, and the Church on that Way at that time was probably at least 10,000 people. So I was in a normal, like, Sunday service with 2,000 people in it. I mean, it was literally like, I didn't even know what to do. And so, you know, we went and checked out a couple of other churches, and then we came back and checked out the Church on the Way. And this was the thing that did it for me, Danny. You know, Pastor Jack Hayford was preaching. He's a very well-known pastor on the mainland. Many people know him here in Hawaii, and he is kind of like a, if there was a Mount Rushmore of the Foursquare movement, it would definitely have Pastor Jack on it.
It was the beginning of Pastor Alex now moving into a new transition in his life. Yes, I agree with him, Pastor Jack Hayford. If there were a Mount Rushmore, indeed, Pastor Jack there on would be one of those there. for the Four Square Church, a true stalwart, an example even to this day, how God has used him and inspired others. You know, Pastor Alex, in his ministry at school, as he worked with many young people, so over 150 teens come to Christ, well, out of that grew a ministry, and eventually he became a part of that ministry from an official capacity that eventually led to a full-time ministry, to the ministry that he's in now, where he's a professor, where he's an administrator, where he is a pastor of pastors, as well as pastoring his own church, newhopetown.org, Pastor Alex Michelle. Suzanne, wasn't it a blessing to hear him share as he did today?
Absolutely. I've heard so much about Pastor Alex, Danny, and I haven't had the privilege of meeting him yet, but I was just so blessed listening to the whole transformation, and now to know how God is using him today is just such a blessing.
Well, we believe, dear friend, that you were touched by God's work in Pastor Alex Michelle. Again, you can find out more at newhopetown.org. You'll find more inspirational stories of hope and faith at thegoodlifehawaii.com. It's always a blessing to be with you. And this is the perfect time to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect time, I believe, for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Why wait? This is the moment for you. You can support our ministry, certainly needed and appreciated. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click partners and make your donation there. I thank you in advance. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Pastor Alex Michelle. Find out more at newhopetown.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Leah Rodriguez, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.